See, I told you, I didn't hit the button.
Okay.
Welcome to the Cheap Wine Parenting Podcast. I'm Michael.
And I'm Jessica.
It's a podcast where we talk about wine and parenting and Google searches. So today, we're drinking a wine that is called the Eventa Malbec from Mendoza, Argentina. But we purchased it at Aldi. For $3.99.
We did not go to Argentina.
We didn't. We can't.
Unfortunately.
We don't have enough listeners yet. Soon. So it's a Malbec, as I said. It's a very deep red color. It looks so, it's like you're gonna regret tomorrow red. So let's give it a try.
Cheers. It is potent. That is a wine that will give you a hangover.
Yeah, my first impression based on the color was indeed correct. This you will regret tomorrow if you finish this bottle. It's strong.
Yeah, the small and mighty Malbec grape, which flourishes at some of the world's highest altitudes for winemaking.
I hope we're saying it wrong. I hope it's like male bake or something like this.
Medium full body. I don't think this is medium. I don't want a full body if this is just medium to full.
I would love to try a full body.
Dry, for sure. With notes of blackberries, plum, and spice, this wine pairs well with grilled steak, lamb. Enjoy serving at room temperature.
Okay, well, we checked off the room temperature box, but we did not have it with steak or lamb.
We didn't have it for dinner. This is the first one we have not cracked open earlier, so our first taste test for this podcast was right then when we just took a drink. So, all the other ones we've tasted before we started recording, so.
I mean, I'm skeptical if that's true, but you have a better memory than me.
Way better.
Oh, man. I don't think we're going to finish this bottle.
We normally finish a bottle between the two of us. We do get a head start.
Yeah, I've had a beer already tonight. It was a very good sour from the Platform Brewing Company.
That was earlier, though. So, like, don't think that his taste buds are ruined because of a beer.
No, I had peanut butter immediately before this.
And that's a palate cleanser.
Definitely not.
For sure.
Definitely not.
Scientifically proven. By yours truly.
It's not a banana or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm going to pour myself some more just to be proactive.
But anyway, I agree that this is dry. Michael went when I agreed with that, but
I don't think it's dry.
I'm feeling like I need to chug a glass of water after like 3 sips.
Small but mighty, these grapes.
Yes. So far, whew, if I had more than 2 glasses, I would be probably regretting it.
Lights out, TKO. Yeah. Okay. Man, your face every time, shaking it off.
It's intense.
It's a lot. I mean, Jessica doesn't traditionally like reds anyway.
True. So,
especially not like these room temperature reds.
Yeah, I do like a cold wine. Just trying to think, too, if this Aldi wine is a regular item or Aldi finds. Do you remember?
It came off the back shelf, but
not in the wood things? Okay, then it's regular.
Wait, maybe it was in the wood things.
I know we got at least one Aldi finds wine. I'm just trying to remember.
We got the Chianti.
That's regular.
Okay, then maybe it's this.
Anyway, it's powerful. It's not powerful enough to make me stop drinking it. So, that's where I am right now.
Okay, so then we'll move on to the what's happened since the last episode segment. Perhaps the most important thing that's happened is that our backyard has been infested by geese.
Infested makes it sound like there's 8. And for some reason, I knew you were going to say infested. I don't know why. We've been married for too long.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew you were going to say that, but it's not infested.
What did you say? We need to spice up our marriage like this Malbec was spiced up by the Argentinians who made it?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, I predicted that you were going to make dinner without my input today, and I was right, and you predicted that I would say infested. So.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, let's go back to the geese. So, we did notice that they were here, I think, right after we moved in. At least the first week. Like, it might have been not been the next, like, our first morning waking up here. But there's been one hanging out. And he's got a gimpy leg. And I looked up wildlife rescue and stuff like that. And no one deals with geese. So, I just want him... I wanted to make sure he was okay and, like, put somewhere else so they don't nest anywhere. And then they disappeared for a while. He did. We call him Pegleg Pete. He disappeared, right? He was gone. I didn't see him much last week. And then the other day, Michael chased him away. Or, no, the dog, Frisky, ran after him. And then three of them flew through the sky. And I was like, what the heck? And then Pegleg Pete came back. And then he disappeared for a little while, and he brought a friend.
Yeah.
So there's been two.
Yeah. And the dogs obviously don't cooperate with them well, and we don't have a fence in our yard right now. So, and so one of our dogs, Frisky, goes out without a leash and without a tie out, and so she can roam and or chase whatever she wants as far as she wants. And she's generally pretty obedient, but... I mean, sometimes you just want to run after a goose. So, before work today, I had to clear them out of the backyard because they were hanging out, Pegleg Pete and his accomplice. And I chased them with a broom.
Yeah.
And if you follow Jessica on Snapchat, you could have had a laugh with the broom.
Yeah. Turbo, on the other hand, is scared the other morning since he goes out on the tie out. I was like, whatever, Turbo can go out and go to the bathroom. He was scared. He wouldn't go down the steps. Meanwhile, Frisky's like, yeah, let's get this.
Yeah, she wants to play with the geese. And then they came back, and instead of chasing them with the broom after work, I decided to... Well, first I tried quacking at them like a duck.
Literally like a duck.
It didn't work.
It did not work. That was him.
That was the duck. And it didn't work. And so then my mother was kind enough to send me an article about ways to get rid of geese, including getting a dog that is trained for this purpose. And one of the ways was to play distressed geese sounds. So I set up a Sonos speaker to play goose sounds at the geese, and this worked to get them away, but it caused some chaos in the household, both because of the time that I chose to do it and because the animals and the baby weren't into it.
Turbo was scared because he was playing it, so he looked out the window, and then it was in the middle of dinner, and Michael's chair was still pushed out, and his food was still on the table, and Turbo ran because he was so scared and jumped on Michael's chair and was looking like, oh my god, he was on high alert. And I was afraid he was going to eat the food. And then the baby started to get upset, too, because she was like, what is happening? What's that noise? It was madness for her.
Yeah, when I'm scared, I definitely am like, wow, let me devour this bowl of chili.
The thing is, though, he wasn't even interested in it, as I freaked out, and so he jumped down. Mm. He did not even, I was shocked. The beagle did not even look at the food.
Mm.
He was just, his reaction when he gets scared is to jump on furniture, usually the couch.
Yeah, well, I would have lived with the couch in this case, but...
Yeah.
The geese are temporarily at least gone, so...
They usually come back in the morning, so...
We're ready. I have a Sonos speaker named Goose.
That is factually correct.
So we are ready for them. And I have two hours of goose sounds on YouTube that we can just... let play
and piss off the neighbors.
I mean, it's got to be better than the geese.
They're not, the geese aren't in their yards. I doubt they care.
Well,
just saying,
I'm gonna make them care. Okay. with caring.
What else has been going on? Anything else for you, Michael?
Not really. What about you, Jessica?
No, nothing. I live a pretty mundane life. So, not much. Still really, really hot here.
So hot. It's October the 3rd. It was 100 degrees.
101 today.
Oh, okay. 101
degrees. That was the high today. That is what the temperature got to today.
Yeah, not felt like.
Yeah, this is what it actually got to. But I went for a walk this morning, just over, a little over 3 miles, and left at 8 a.m., got back around 9 a.m., and had to take a shower after. It was that hot that early in the morning. But I also sweat like a man, so YOLO.
It's kind of sexist when you think about it.
You are not wrong. You just don't see many women sweat as profusely. You don't see other women like myself sweat like I do.
I think you're wrong. How many women have you surveyed about their sweating habits?
I mean, I work with them. Mm-hmm. Worked with them, so.
And you were measuring their sweat output?
Not measuring it, but like visually measuring it. I will say, though, Busy Phillips sweats a lot. She sweats way more than me. But I really wonder, and not in like a creepy, like stalker fetish type of way, does she smell when she sweats that much?
Everyone smells when they sweat a lot.
Like she drips. I heard on a podcast that when she was pregnant, she had so much water, retained so much water, that she did acupuncture to help with all the uncomfortableness of it. And she said that water literally like came out just like when they poked the needles in there. So that's just her. But wild.
She's not a man. No. So you sweat like Busy.
Okay, I will start saying I sweat like Busy Phillips and no one will understand.
Yeah. Well, when you really think about it, it doesn't make sense.
Anyway, walked. I'm back on the not running so much train because my foot that I... Don't you dare. He just pretended to hit it. Punch it.
It's brutal.
I know. It hurts. That I hurt in mid-August is, with this running, it's hurting again, so. Put myself back on the running DL. Just doesn't feel good. So, it's a foot that I've sprained multiple times before. Maybe there's a tiny fracture in there, who knows.
Yeah, little baby fracture.
So, what else is going on with me? Nothing.
Mm. Oh yeah, so.
Yeah.
Speaking of physical activity, last week I rode my bike and then I stopped. It was just like a, went out after dinner for a casual ride before it got dark. And then I was coming to a stop sign and there was traffic in the subdivision. And I stopped, but I wasn't able to downshift. And so when I went to pedal again, I had too much gear and couldn't get going. And my foot clipped in. My clipless pedals, and I couldn't get it out, and I fell over and busted my hip because I'm old, and it's like the worst kind of accident when you fall over in slow motion and your foot is stuck, and I just kind of laid there for a minute, but I busted my hip, and it still hurts. I mean, it was last Wednesday or Thursday, I think.
Didn't you say that someone saw you, too?
Yeah, there was a woman walking down the street, and I think she... I mean, 10% chance she didn't see it, 90% chance she was like, whatever, I'm out of here, this is weird, this is probably like some weird pickup tactic, like the fall off your bike tactic for picking up women in a subdivision.
Yeah.
Tried and true. And, yeah, so she, when I just laid there, I was like, oh, no, this is going to be awkward when she comes over here, and I'm like, no, I just don't know how to ride a bike. But then I looked, and she was walking the other direction, so... I mean, she saved us both a lot of embarrassment and time and trouble.
True.
But really, she should have checked. I mean, it's really kind of rude.
Super rude. Have you told anyone that you fell over?
I told someone at work, yeah.
Okay.
So this is probably like the third time I've fallen over since I started riding a bike again as an adult 3 years ago. And this is the worst it's ever hurt, so I don't know if it's just a product of getting older or like the way that I hit or what, but... That wasn't fun. And then so now I'm scared of riding my bike again. Not really scared. I'm just not as into it. I totally love looking at pictures of bikes still, but I,
Is that why you haven't gone for a ride?
I just wasn't feeling it Sunday when I typically would have rode. And so I ran Sunday. I ran Saturday and Sunday and Monday or Tuesday. And then I ran Monday.
Oh, after work one day.
Yeah, I ran after work one day and it sucked. So I've been pretty bad at running this week, which is sad. And I know in the last episode I said that I was going to try to run more and I'm not doing a good job. And it's, I have all kinds of excuses, like the baby and work and the hot heat, but really I'm just lazy. That's what it always boils down to, and I need to hold myself accountable. So that's what's going on. This is a good segue into a new segment that we have called Cheap Wine Parenting Quick Hits, where during the week we like to drink wine when we're not recording an episode, but we still want to capture our feelings on the wine. And so we recorded us drinking a wine, so we're going to do a quick hit and then we'll come right back and get back to business. This is a Cheap Wine Parenting Quick Hit live from the kitchen. We couldn't wait to record, so we wanted to sample a new wine. This is a Secco, a bubbly taste of cranberry. So let's have a drink.
Cheers. You can really taste the cranberry. It is bubbly, sweet. Man, now it's really sweet at the end.
It's extremely sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a little bit dry at the end, too.
Agreed. But I remember when we bought this, I asked Michael if this would be good for UTIs since it's cranberry. So if you know, let us know.
So again, this is just labeled as Secco, a bubbly taste of cranberry. And where did we purchase this?
Trader Joe's.
And how much was it?
Who knows?
$4 or $5, maybe $6.
Yeah, I feel like it would have been a lot
possibly
more.
Possibly $3. I don't think it was more. I think I limited to $6.
Okay.
So anyway.
Lil M is pumped for this tasting.
Making a guest appearance on the pod. So this is a delicious, fruity, and fresh carbonated wine with a taste of cranberry. For this unique product, special selected cranberry juice and flavors are used in order to give the product its incomparable taste. Served slightly chilled, we served it straight out the refrigerator, so you're welcome.
We served it straight up chilled.
Straight up chilled, all the way chilled. And Little M wants her oatmeal, so back to your regularly scheduled programming. Wow, was that an interesting wine. So let's get back to business. The segment we're going to get into now is what have we Googled since the last episode? So Jessica, as the chief Googler in charge, what have we been Googling?
We? You can say what you've Googled. So there's a lot that I Google, like things that don't really matter.
We want the safe for work stuff.
No, like everything's safe for work. But, like, if I'm watching Kelly and Ryan in the morning and, like, someone's on there, then I'll Google to see, like, their age or, like, a movie or something. Stuff like that. So, like, there's miscellaneous things like that. But the other things, the main things that I have Googled that I like to go over are things that affect our life. You know, no one really needs to understand why that I Googled Julia Stiles last night, so.
Just good saying. Explanation.
So,
why did you Google Julia Stiles last night?
I honestly don't remember.
Oh, shout out. Happy Mean Girls Day, since we're talking about Julia Stiles, the star of Mean Girls.
No, she's not. You're joking, right?
Very joking, but thank you for playing it up with your laugh.
Oh my gosh, I thought you were serious. I feel like I saw it somewhere.
I know it was Amy Adams.
Yes, it was. No, okay, now I really want to know. Who is it?
Rachel McAdams and Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, just making sure that we were cool.
Of course it's Lindsay Lohan.
Back when she was hot.
Definitely.
Anyway, I feel like I Googled Julia Stiles because,
Jason Bourne?
No, I don't remember where I saw her.
The Office? Was she in The Office?
No.
Was it because Amy Adams was in The Office?
No. I don't know why I feel like I saw her somewhere, like, maybe it was one of those Snapchat, like, sponsored stories type things or something. So then I Googled her to see what she's been doing lately and then read an article. She was in the movie Hustlers, the stripper movie with Jennifer Lopez. No, just came out. So all these, anyway, I read about her. So, I still really like her. She, one of my all time favorite movies, Save the Last Dance, she starred in. So good. Anyway, what I Googled, long story. I have Googled this week growth spurts for babies. There's one around 9 months.
We're there.
We there.
Hey, look, we made it this far into the episode, and now we're talking about parenting.
I know. This is amazing. So, from my Googling and reading, it seems like growth spurts only last, like, 2 to 5 days. But she's just been very very off with her naps. She was so good with napping. Michael's pouring himself another glass. RIP, his headache tomorrow. Very weird with her naps. She used to be able to take a little nap in the morning, only about an hour, and then an afternoon nap anywhere between like 2 and 3 hours. And now it's like 30 minutes to an hour tops, and she wants to nap 3 or 4 times a day. So, looked up that to see, like, are babies more tired during a growth spurt? And when, like, leading up to it, they're more fussy and all that. But when they're actually, like, growing, they just want to sleep. Haven't seen much on the side of her eating more, because that can happen with a growth spurt. She loves eating anyway. You could give her a bottle every 2 hours and she'd be thrilled. Like a 6 ounce bottle, I feel like, every 2 hours. And she'd be like, it's about freaking time. I was starving.
She's like a beagle.
She is. Oh my gosh. Her and Turbo are.
That's not true, though. She does, like, when we give her puffs or whatever, she doesn't. When she gets over it, Turbo would never stop.
That's true.
If you gave Turbo one puff a minute, he would eat every puff, every minute. He would never stop.
I feel like he would never stop even at one puff every 30 seconds. Like, because all he would do is just swallow it.
Yeah. He doesn't chew it. He doesn't enjoy it.
No, he doesn't. So, yeah, growth spurts. I would like to say today, though, her nap's back on schedule. She's just taking a later afternoon nap. But we'll see if that messes with her sleep. Because sometimes if they wake up, if there's not much time before they actually go to bed, word on the street is that that can interfere with their sleep and they just wake up early because they didn't, like, work themselves out and everything. But, so that's something that I Googled. I also Googled the YMCA and, like, Mommy and Me classes, anything like that to try to, one, help me get into shape because I feel like I would do better, like, knowing I have to go work out at this time. And then therefore I could meet people too. And she could be in daycare there since the Y offers daycare. And then the Mommy and Me classes just to see, like, what kind of stuff there is. There's, like, fitness classes. And there's a sing-along, like, 10-week program class that actually started today. It was, like, $175 for 45 minutes once a week for 10 weeks. And I was like, nah. If I was working, I would probably say yes. Like, financially. But,
You can almost join the Y for that.
I know. Well, that's also what I was thinking. Like, I don't know everything. I doubt they offer a music class at the Y. But, like, right. I would rather join the Y and have, like, all these other classes for me and her.
When we were growing up, they had ballet classes. My sister went to ballet at the Y.
Really? There's, like, tumbling classes and two. I think there's little classes. Maybe we could go this weekend and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
We have a busy weekend. But, yeah, little, like, gymnastics stuff that she could, like, crawl on or, like, pull herself up on and push things. So, that's what I've been looking into, trying to get her back to mingling with babies, because she loves babies, loves other kids, and she loved daycare, so she needs to get back just for her enjoyment and, like, to grow and everything.
stay tuned for next week when we tell you about our busy weekend.
Yeah. Super busy. I feel like we never have things planned, and we've got, like, on the docket, like, what, 5 things that we want to do this weekend?
That's right.
At least, I feel like.
Stay honestly. Tuned next week on Cheap Wine Parenting.
Yes. But otherwise, I think that's what I've been Googling this week. Michael, what have you Googled this week?
I Googled a lot of metric to standard conversions. Yesterday at lunch, I was talking to my German boss and our German, a German guy who's going to join our team next year. And they were wondering how big the cup they were holding was. And I was like, this is 20 ounces. Everybody knows this is 20 ounces. And they're like, how many milliliters is that? Like, and I was like, I don't know. I was like, 16.9 is 500. So then I Googled it, and it's like 594, I think. And this is my life, working with a bunch of not-Americans. And really, metric is better, and I hate everyone who came before me for not adopting metric and forcing me to think in standard or system, what, SI units, because metric is better and America sucks.
Whoa!
I mean, kind of. I only mean parts of that. Controversial. That's what you said. But really, we should be on the metric system because milliliters are better, and there's almost nothing about metric that's worse. Except, okay, Celsius is bad, but everything else is good.
Why is Celsius bad?
The units are too big. You need half units. When you have a car with Celsius auto AC, they have half steps because the Celsius degree is larger than a Fahrenheit degree.
Got you.
But I guess in general, Celsius is probably better too, because 0 is freezing and 100 is boiling, and you don't have to worry about anything else. Like, it's super easy to remember. Not that 32 and 212 are so hard to remember, but I guess I should have asked you the temperature at which water boiled. Would you have been able to hit it?
Nope.
Wow. Okay. I wish I would have done that. So what was it again?
212.
Okay.
But I didn't know the freezing part either.
Okay, do you know the point at which Celsius and Fahrenheit intersect?
No, I don't want a quiz.
Oh, do you know the difference between Celsius and Kelvin? Other things I've been Googling this week include home energy monitors. So, I'm a nerd. I don't know what else to say. I just want to know, like, how much power we're using in real time, and what devices or appliances are using the power, because, I just want to know. It costs money, but if you pay $300 for a home energy monitor, are you actually going to get $300 in value and savings from that? And I think that the answer to that is pretty clear to me. No, unless you have, like, a failure, but if I can find a different product for a lower price, then perhaps I will invest. And then today I Googled distressed goose sounds, tying back into our earlier segment, which, I mean, that really is going to just fuck up my Google search algorithm. But worse, I went and searched on YouTube too, and now YouTube's going to think I'm like some sort of like animal enthusiast. I found a video, 2 hours of goose sounds. Just 2 hours.
It's also going to mess with your Instagram.
It might. I hope not.
Your ads or whatever.
If I start getting, like, hunting ads, like, for goose calls, then I'm gonna be sad, mostly. But yeah, that's what I've been Googling. So, we'll move on then to the main segment, which might not actually be the longest segment of the show, but this is how we go. This is the protein and starch, because we want to generalize, we don't want to be specific. We support you in whatever diet you want to do. Your listener, but you probably shouldn't eat meat.
Don't be a douche.
Yeah, too late. And today's topic is marathon training with a baby, because I train for marathons and I have a baby. So, Jessica, before I take the stage from you, is there anything that you want to say? I can ask you questions later, but is there anything that you want to comment about marathon training with a baby?
Well, since I have not trained for a marathon ever, I don't know if I have any comments on the subject right now. So I will just add things after you chat about it from your experience in the spring and winter.
Spring and winter.
Yeah, winter and spring, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so this spring in May, I ran my 7th full marathon, which I say only to brag and for no other reason.
At least he's honest.
So it was the first marathon I had run with a child, and I didn't know how this would affect me, right? So it was certainly cool to see her cheering me on the sidelines, but I still bonked in literally the exact same spot that I bonked in the same marathon 3 years running now, which I got cramps, and my leg cramps, and it didn't feel good. So having a child didn't affect me at all in the actual race, other than just it was cool to see her, and cool to see her at the finish, and she didn't have a blowout in the full, because I did a half marathon in March of this year after she was born, and she had a blowout.
Full-on blowout.
It's a...
Like, we took pictures, no one realized there was poop everywhere.
Everywhere. So, it's a classic picture that we'll use against her at some point in her life.
I mean, and us. No, we didn't notice. We were holding her.
It's not her fault.
Yeah. She was a baby.
Definitely your fault.
It's less your fault.
Definitely not my fault. Just ran 13.1 miles in a reasonable amount of time.
Anyway.
But all of this to say that since I ran a marathon with a baby, it means that I had to do marathon training with a baby.
He didn't run the actual marathon with pushing a stroller.
Yeah, fair.
I would like to just clear that up.
Yeah, that would suck.
Go on.
I think I did 10 miles with a baby. That's the most I've done in the stroller. And it didn't suck, but running a whole race. Like, racing with the stroller doesn't sound like fun, although I'm probably going to do it in 2 weeks. So, anyway, I had to train while we had a baby. And again, like I said, so I've done some stroller runs, but mostly I was training while the baby existed. And that's what the real context of this conversation is. So, as I said, this was my 7th marathon, and in the previous 6, I had no baby to worry about. I just had me to worry about and my schedule, and to a certain extent, Jessica's schedule and the things that we wanted to do together. And so this time I started training. I usually start training 16 to 18 weeks out from a race. And so I started in January, and this is when, fresh after the baby was born, but Jessica was on maternity leave and gave me relatively free rein to do what I needed to do, because she understands that running in general keeps me sane and it's what I enjoy doing. And so I would say that this was relatively easy to get out for a few hours on the weekends, or to wake up early in the morning and to run, especially when the baby was sleeping well in this time.
And also I was breastfeeding then, so like, what's Michael gonna do?
Yeah, what is Michael gonna do? So, I was powerless and useless, and so I might as well just get out for a run. So I did that, and it was pretty smooth and pretty easy. And then Jessica went back to work in March, shortly after the half marathon incident. And so this is when we got the jogging stroller, and I started using it. You're not really supposed to run with a baby, so definitely, like, the jogging stroller says, don't run with a baby that's under 6 months old. And our baby had a strong neck, and I was running with her in the car seat. And
yeah, she was supported, and our pediatrician said as long as she's supported,
yeah, for
it's
sure.
Fine.
And so, it was, I guess, maybe not every weekend, but almost every weekend I was pushing her in the jogging stroller. It feels like I could look back on my training logs. But yeah, one run a week I would push her in the jogging stroller, and she slept usually, and I could see her facing me in the car seat, and she was supported. But yeah, I mean, that changes your training plan a little bit when this was usually, it feels like, it was usually Saturday, which is supposed to be speed work days. And it's hard to do speed work when you're pushing a stroller, even if it's flatland. And so, like, instead of running 8 miles pace or 10 miles pace, it was like cutting the run short or making them slower. A pace run is when you're running at marathon pace. So yeah, I would guess then that that was my training experience, and I came in pretty fit. I felt like I was fit before the baby was born, and I was able to maintain that fitness throughout the training cycle, but it's just another consideration, I think, and I'm, to say that I'm even remotely affected by it or that it changed me wouldn't really be fair to, like, a woman who has to sacrifice her body and health to even have a child and then to worry about healing all of her body parts before she can even get back to running is a much different experience, certainly, because, I mean, I was running, I think I ran on my birthday, which was 2 days after little Em was born, so that's really not possible for a woman. So yeah, that was my training experience for the marathon. I don't know if there's a lot to actually... I thought there would be more flesh on the bones, honestly, dear podcast listener. So I apologize for that. But all I can say is that I've run 7 marathons. And I'm about to get into my 8th training cycle, I think. I'm going to do the marathon here in Alabama, where we live. And I hope that my dear wife is considering joining me, too. So maybe she'll have her own marathon training experience, or half, let's say half marathon training experience to share with y'all soon.
So to add to your marathon training, he is right saying that, like, it's not a lot that went into it or didn't affect you or your body because of the baby, but it goes back to, I think in the first episode we briefly talked about how having a baby has changed us, and you said it hasn't with you. I feel like listening to you talk about this is a good example of how it has not changed you. Because, and I'm not saying that to be rude, not at all, but, like, at the very beginning, she slept super well. If she woke up to eat, I would feed her and I'd go back to bed, and Michael was lucky enough to have 2 weeks of paternity leave. Plus, he was off work before that for holiday stuff. So 2.5 weeks together before he went back to work, almost 3 full weeks. So for me, he just got a later start on running. He likes to leave the house like around 8 a.m., 8:15-ish at the latest. So sometimes he would just go to run at 9 or 9:30 instead of leaving at 8. But yes, I was supportive, and he knew and I knew that if ever I wanted him there, then he would stay and he wouldn't run, or he would run later in the day, especially being the winter, and quote unquote winter, running later wasn't going to do anything. Wouldn't be like asking him to run at 1 p.m., right, like, in Alabama in August.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. But then when I went back to work, he was worried about how would he run, and how would he continue running, and how is he going to train, and questioned getting the jogging stroller for a while, and I was like, just get it. Like, it's going to be worth it, and we use it all the time now. It's so much better than the stroller, the other stroller that we have. Just so smooth and easy to steer and all that stuff. So it's well worth the money. But I remember one of your long runs, I was planning my schedule around his training schedule, and his long runs are normally on Sunday. So there's a 20-mile run, and coming back to work, working retail, I was like, I'm going to work a weekend when I come back, because I've been off for so long, and I want to be fair, even though I had a baby, like, I just want to be fair. I was gone for so long, like, I'm back in it. So, the first weekend, I only worked Saturday, and then the following weekend, I worked the weekend, and I remember you were like, it's my 20-mile run, and I was like, I'm gonna work, and you were wrong. You were like, oh, wait, no, it's the following Sunday. So, that was the only thing, like, it is what it is. If you can't run 20 miles or what, then sorry about it. I have a job. But that was the only time that I can actually remember being like, I okay. Sounds like a you problem. But otherwise, I agree that the training in itself and everything just affected your pace runs, but even still, you were worried one, I forget which one, but you, there were multiple times you had really fast things. Like, I feel like one of your runs had a really fast 5K at the moment, maybe a PR for a 5K during your, no? Okay, whatever. But, I mean, I personally don't think you don't have your facts and everything in front of you and your times, but it seems like it worked okay for you running with a stroller.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wasn't what kept me from PRing in the race. It was other factors. So, yeah, definitely have a baby. It won't affect your running as long as you're a dude. So, I think that's enough for that topic, honestly. I'll keep you all updated on my current running training. I think that this cycle might be different because she's older. Things are different here, and I feel some obligation to help in the morning, and maybe that's me just making excuses for not running, but maybe it'll be different. So, I think that's the end of our segment, and thus the end of our show. So, until next time, we have some Malbec to finish later, like one third of a bottle, maybe a little bit more than that, 3/8. So, we will...
I'm still nursing my second glass.
I might have some regrets tomorrow.
I think Mike was on his third.
Yeah. But it's eminently drinkable, I'd say. Definitely with a good steak. So, we'll...
JK.
So, until next time, this is the Cheap Wine Parenting Podcast, and thanks for listening.
Bye! Does what?
It just starts recording.
Didn't
when you hit... like turn it? I don't think I hit it.
Oh. I bet you hit it.
I bet I didn't.